To our worship service here in Karatz today. It's good to be back in my familiar pulpit after being away in Creva last Sabbath day. There was a diversion on the way to Creva, which added about 20 minutes to my journey, and I only got to Creva 2 minutes to 12, which was cutting it a bit fine, but I did get there, thankfully. So the announcements I have then for the week ahead. This evening we have our prayer meeting at 10 past 7 here in the church building. That's prior to the evening service. And then the evening service tonight is being led by Reverend John Coulter. And John agreed to take the evening service this evening in order that I could be a bit fresher than usual on a Monday. And Monday tomorrow is a meeting of Synod. And it's a meeting where I have to be prepared to answer any questions that might come my way. There might not be any, but there might be lots. And so John is filling in for me this evening. The Pakistan appeal, which concluded last Sabbath day, the amount donated was £1,630. There are a few copies of the minutes of Synod. All of the elders should receive a copy of the minutes of Synod, and there will be one with your name on it if you haven't already got it. But there's a few other copies available on the table. Session pastoral visits this week. It'll be from Roy's list of families. So tomorrow in Collibaki, then at 10 o'clock, is a Pro Renata meeting of Synod. A Pro Renata meeting is a meeting that's called between the regular meetings of Synod. And the purpose of this meeting is to hear an appeal from a member in the Ballylagan congregation, Mr. Kenneth Lawrence. He's appealing against the decision of the Northern Presbytery. The Northern Presbytery upheld the decision of Ballylagan session to excommunicate Mr. Lawrence. He appealed to Presbytery against that, and he is now appealing to Synod against the decision of the Presbytery. Tuesday evening, the midweek prayer meeting at 8 o'clock, that will be in the church hall for now. And then next Lord's Day, God willing, things are at their normal times. I've put in the announcement sheet about Covenant Renewal 2022, and a service of Covenant Renewal was held at our Synod meetings in June. And something similar is then taking place across the congregations of the Reformed Presbyterian Church of Ireland. And I intend to speak on that this Sabbath day, next Sabbath day, and the following Sabbath day. And then on the 23rd of October, the third of those Sabbath days, there will be a covenant signing that will take place as part of the worship service. So those who wish to sign the covenant commitment will be invited to come forward and put your name to the covenant document. On the way out today, there will be a page on printed on both sides, and that is the wording of the 2022 covenant. So I would encourage everybody to take a copy. I think I have 65, and there's not 65 people here, I would say. So there is one. There's one available for everybody. I will be reading the covenant at the end of my sermon, but you need to have it in your hands so that you can read it and prayerfully consider if you're able to put your name to that and that you want to make that your covenant commitment. Well, then there's an invitation from the Ballymoney congregation. They're having a missionary speaker. We've had him here in Karatz, a Ukrainian Jew called Aviel Sela, and he's working. He's a converted Jew. He's working. He works in Jerusalem, and he's going to be speaking at a meeting in Ballymoney in their church hall Tuesday the 18th of October at 8 o'clock, and he'll be speaking about the gospel and the Passover and about the work of international mission to Jewish people. And then something else that's not in the announcements, but I think I should mention it as a decision of Synod during the week. Ross Fallows is leaving the congregation of Karatz in order to join the Shaftesbury Square Reformed Presbyterian Church. He's now living and working in Belfast, and so intends to join himself with the efforts in Shaftesbury Square. And so a disjunction certificate was issued on Wednesday night at session for Ross. Those are the announcements that I want to mention. We come now to the public worship of God. We join in singing praise to him, and our opening psalm is part of Psalm 105. We sing from the beginning of this psalm. The tune we use is Newington 123. Third stanza, it says, "Look to the Lord and to his strength, and seek his face always. The works of wonder he has done, remember now in praise." Now, that's what we do in praising the Lord in worship. "Remember now the miracles, the judgments of his voice, seed of his servant Abraham, O Jacob's sons, his choice. He is the Lord our God. In all earth are his judgments known. Forever he remembered has the covenant that's his own." And our God is a covenant-making God and a covenant-keeping God, and he will forever remember that wonderful covenant of salvation that he has made and that he teaches us about throughout the Scriptures. And God is the original covenanter. He is the one who enters into covenant, and we rejoice in that great covenant of God. So Psalm 105, we sing the first five stanzas, tune 1, 2, 3, we stand to sing and remain standing then for prayer. Let us all worship God. We speak to God now in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, as we draw near in worship today, we thank you, Lord, for you as the great God who is the object of our praise. And we thank you that you are the one who has and will forever remember your covenant promises. We thank you, Lord, for those promises that we find in the Scriptures and how they're passed on from generation to generation. And we thank you, Lord, that you have been true to your word and that you do have your people in all the earth, just as you promised in the covenant that you made with Abraham, that in him all the nations of the earth would be blessed. And we praise you, God, for how the Lord Jesus Christ, the seed of Abraham, is the one in whom all the nations of the earth are blessed. And we praise you, God, for your international church. We thank you for the many, many nations where your people will be meeting and will be worshiping you and will be declaring your praises. We thank you, God, that we are a part of that. And we ask for your help as we seek to worship you today. We pray that you will forgive us our sins. And we pray, Lord, that as we hear your word in the scriptures, that we will see the things that you would want us to see there, and that you will use that, O Lord, to direct us in our living. Father, we ask for the working of your Holy Spirit among us in this time of worship, and we pray for your presence with those not able to join with us today in this worship service. We ask all now in Jesus' name, amen. Let us read together from God's Word, turning to the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy and to the beginning of Deuteronomy chapter 29. Deuteronomy 29, page number in the Pew Bible is 185. Reading from the beginning of this chapter, and we read the first 20 verses. Let's follow the reading of God's word here. Deuteronomy 29 and reading from verse 1. These are the words of the covenant which the Lord commanded Moses to make with the children of Israel in the land of Moab, besides the covenant which he made with them in Horeb. Now Moses called all Israel and said to them, "You have seen all that the Lord did before your eyes in the land of Egypt, to Pharaoh and to all his servants and to all his land, the great trials which your eyes have seen, the signs and those great wonders. Yet the Lord has not given you a heart to perceive and eyes to see and ears to hear to this very day. And I have led you 40 years in the wilderness. Your clothes have not worn out on you, and your sandals have not worn out on your feet. You have not eaten bread, nor have you drunk wine or similar drink, that you may know that I am the Lord your God. And when you come to this place, when you came to this place, Sihon, king of Heshbon, and Og, king of Bashan, came out against us to battle, and we conquered them. We took their land and gave it as an inheritance to the Reubenites and to the Gadites and to half the tribe of Manasseh. Therefore, keep the words of this covenant and do them, that you may prosper in all that you do. All of you stand today before the Lord your God, your leaders and your tribes, and your elders, and your officers, all the men of Israel, your little ones and your wives, also the stranger who is in your camp, from the one who cuts your wood to the one who draws your water, that you may enter into covenant with the Lord your God and into his oath, which the Lord your God makes with you today, that he may establish you today as a people for himself, and that he may be God to you, just as he has spoken to you, and just as he has sworn to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I make this covenant and this oath, not with you alone, but with him who stands here with us today before the Lord our God, as well as with him who is not here with us today. For you know that we dwelt in the land of Egypt, and that we came through the nations which you passed by, and you saw their abominations and their idols which were among them, wood and stone and silver and gold, so that there may not be among you man or woman or family or tribe whose heart turns away today from the Lord our God, to go and serve the gods of these nations, and that there may not be among you a root bearing bitterness or wormwood. And so it may not happen, when he hears the words of this curse, that he blesses himself in his heart, saying, I shall have peace, even though I follow the dictates of my heart, as though the drunkard could be included with the sober. The Lord would not spare him, for then the anger of the Lord and his jealousy would burn against that man, and every curse that is written in this book would settle on him, and the Lord would blot out his name from under heaven. And we end our reading for now there in that verse in Deuteronomy 29. Now, I want today to mention some things that were being shared for prayer at our ministers' conference. I wasn't here last Sabbath day, which was the day immediately after the Sabbath after the ministers' conference has finished. And so I wanted to mention for your encouragement some things that were shared for prayer at the ministers' conference. One was in regard to Reverend Bill Mathis, and Reverend Robert Robb was able to say that Bill Mathis was able to send an email update to Robert to tell him how he's been doing, and that's the first time that has happened since Bill had taken ill. So he is making progress, and we can be thankful for God answering prayers when he was very, very seriously ill. Work in Nantes. We were informed that the building work, which wasn't due to begin until tomorrow, I think probably, it started three weeks earlier than scheduled, and so that was a cause for rejoicing. That work had been delayed because the previous builder they'd had to cancel the contract with him. And find another builder, but the work has begun, and that's been good to see that work starting. And then also in Nantes, it was mentioned about a gentleman from India who has been studying in Nantes and worshiping with the fellowship in Nantes for the last few years, coming to near an end of his studies, and his desire is to stay on in Nantes. And that's because of the church. He wants to stay in Nantes because of the church that he has been a part of. And that was a good thing to hear. They work in Cookstown. Cookstown was organized as a congregation. It's a fairly small group of people, but it was organized as a congregation. And they're planning very soon to have an election of elders there in Cookstown. But recently they've had two people that had been worshipping with them who have been converted and who are now doing a membership class and expect that they'll be received into membership in due course. And so that's good to hear of that taking place. Then the Rathfrieland congregation, which has been vacant since the retirement of Reverend Barry Galbraith, they're due to meet next Sabbath day. A congregational meeting with the possibility of making out a call, and that's good news that congregation are heading in that direction. They would be a self-supporting congregation, not a big congregation, but they're hoping to be able to make out a call next Sabbath. May not happen next Sabbath, but hopefully it will happen soon after that. Our Shaftesbury Square congregation in Belfast. Shaftesbury Square is a large church building, but it has been a declining congregation. And just on Thursday night, there was a visitation of the Eastern Presbytery to Shaftesbury Square. But the folk in Shaftesbury are encouraged in these days, encouraged because God has brought among them people from people that they themselves hadn't had direct contact with. And there's a young man who's doing a membership class at present who was converted during lockdown, looked for a church and went to Shaftesbury, and he's been going there ever since. There are three Indian families who have begun to worship at Shaftesbury Square. And there's a couple from North Belfast who have been coming to worship in Shaftesbury. And these things have just happened out of the blue, as it were. But they are an answer to the prayers of God's people. And it is the Shaftesbury Square congregation that one of our own, Ross Fallows, is intending to join. And Ross is particularly gifted at speaking to people from all sorts of backgrounds. And they have a language class on Friday night in Shaftesbury, and he was at that. And he got speaking to a couple of people on Friday night, and they were talking about coming along to church this Sabbath morning. So encouragements for our Shaftesbury Square congregation in Belfast. Enniskillen, then, the Enniskillen congregation, they now have a bus was the word that Harry Coulter was using. I'm not sure what size of a vehicle this is, but it's a mobile coffee bus that they have been using over the summer months out and around different events that have been happening in and around County Fermanagh. And they call it their address is 153 Sligo Road, and they call it Hope 153. It's their mobile coffee van. So they're planning to continue to be out and about using that whenever there are particular things that are happening within reasonable driving distance of Enniskillen. Stranorler congregation in Donegal. Stranorler's been vacant for a long time. The last 4 years, Reverend Ian Morrison has been serving as the interim moderator in Stranorler and doing most of the preaching there as well. And in the last 7 months, the congregation in Stranorler have been greatly encouraged by people from different nationalities that God has brought in among them. There was a Ukrainian family, a Christian Ukrainian family of four that are worshipping, have been worshipping for about 7 months in Stranorler. There's also a Kenyan family of four people that have been worshipping regularly with them. And more recently, there's been a father and son from Slovakia, and they have been attending in Stranorler. And so much has this encouraged the congregation in Stranorler that they're now looking seriously at the possibility of calling a minister to serve among them there in Stranorler. And that request will be coming to the Congregational Aid Fund meeting that I have tomorrow after the Synod meeting. So this was really encouraging to hear of how that cause in Stranorler, which didn't look very promising at all, of how God has brought people in there and blessed the efforts of Reverend Ian Morrison there in Stranorler. So these are a few things for your encouragement that were shared at our ministers' conference. And it's good to hear of things that God is doing in different places. And in many cases, he is doing the work himself. The churches are doing other things and maybe not seeing anything in particular for what they are doing, but God has brought people in among them through his own means, and so he is to be praised for that. Well, let us sing then to God's praise, and we turn to Psalm 89, singing from the beginning of this psalm, the first six stanzas, and we use the tune Winchester 179. Psalm 89, and singing from the beginning. The covenant mercies of the Lord, I will forever sing the message of your faithfulness to every age I'll bring. And God is a God of covenant mercies. He is a God of faithfulness. He is true to his word. We're reminded in stanza 3 of how God made a covenant with David. He solemnly swore to David, verse 4, that I forever to remain, your seed established will, your throne I will build up to last through generations all. And the lasting throne of David is that which is occupied by the Lord Jesus Christ, the everlasting King. And God has been true to his covenant promises. He has done what he declares that he will do, and so he is to be praised. And there is no one like him, our great covenant keeping God. Psalm 89, first 6 stanzas, the tune 179. We stand to sing to God's praise. Now, we read again from God's Word, and turning again to Deuteronomy. This time, we read some verses in chapter 30 of Deuteronomy, and starting at the beginning of that chapter, page 186, Deuteronomy chapter 30, at verse 1. Now, it shall come to pass, when all these things come upon you, the blessing and the curse which I have set before you, and you call them to mind among all the nations where the Lord your God drives you, and you return to the Lord your God and obey his voice according to all that I command you today, you and your children, with all your heart and with all your soul, that the Lord your God will bring you back from captivity and have compassion on you and gather you again from all the nations where the Lord your God has scattered you. If any of you are driven out to the farthest parts under heaven, from there the Lord your God will gather you, and from there he will bring you. Then the Lord your God will bring you to the land which your fathers possessed, and you shall possess it. He will prosper you and multiply you more than your fathers. And the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your descendants, to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, that you may live. Also, the Lord your God will put all these curses on your enemies and on those who hate you, who persecuted you. And you will again obey the voice of the Lord and do all his commandments, which I command you today. The Lord your God will make you abound in all the work of your hand, in the fruit of your body, in the increase of your livestock, and in the produce of your land for good. For the Lord will again rejoice over you for good, as he rejoiced over your fathers, if you obey the voice of the Lord your God, to keep his commandments and his statutes, which are written in this book of the law. And if you turn to the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. And then at verse 15, see, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. In that, I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments, his statutes, and his judgments, that you may live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you go to possess. But if your heart turns away so that you do not hear, and are drawn away, and worship other gods, and serve them, I announce to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not prolong your days in the land which you cross over the Jordan to go in and possess. I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live, that you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey his voice, and that you may cling to him, for he is your life and the length of your days, and that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them. So reads God's own true word. Now, before we look to God's word, we come to God in prayer. And if you're able, please stand now as we pray. Our gracious God, we give thanks that you're the same God today as you were in the days of Moses, that the things that you were committed to then, you are committed to now. And we praise you, Lord, for all that you are and for all that we know of you from the Scriptures. Lord, we confess our sin. We confess that we are like the people of the days of Moses, those who grumbled and complained all through those 40 years in the wilderness. And we pray, Lord, that you will forgive us for how we fail to love you with all our heart and soul and mind and strength. We ask, Lord, that in your mercy you will remember those families so suddenly affected by the explosion in Krisla. And Lord, we pray for all that has changed in people's lives. We pray for where there is a Christian input into their lives, and we pray that you'll bless that witness. And Lord, we pray that you will be the helper that people need in such a sudden time of loss. We pray for our service here this evening. We give thanks for John Coulter. We thank you for John's ministry and our Drimbaugh congregation, for how you opened the way for him to serve you there. Pray for your blessing upon the work in Drimbaugh, and that you will be with John as he comes among us this evening. We pray for the church in Newton Ards today as they have an election of elders. We pray that you will provide men who will be able to serve you and serve your people there in that congregation. We pray that there will be a good outcome, and that the men who are elected will be willing to serve and will serve well for many years. We pray for that meeting of Synod tomorrow. We pray for wisdom for all who will be involved in making a decision on the appeal that has been brought. Pray, Lord, for the well-being of the congregation in Ballylagan, and we ask, Lord, for your good hand there in that. We pray for the services this week in the Drumara congregation that Philip Moffat is speaking at. Pray for Philip as he speaks tonight, and then the other nights through until Friday, and pray, Lord, that there will be a good number of people that will come in and will hear your word proclaimed. We pray that you will use that word, O Lord, to bring life. And we ask, Lord, that you will work in a wonderful way, and that will be a time that will be remembered in the Drumara congregation for years to come. We pray for the congregation in Rathfrieland. We pray for them as they prepare to meet next Lord's Day, and as they discuss their options in calling a minister. We pray that there will be a oneness of mind, and Lord, that you would lead them in that. We remember also Raymond Blair. On the Wednesday night of this week, when the call from Dervik is presented, pray for Raymond as he listens to the Limavady speakers and the Dervik speakers, and pray, Lord, that you would guide him clearly as to what way you would have him go. And Lord, we give thanks for the event coming up in Spain on Saturday in Seville, with the installation of Isaac Barracol as the minister there in that Seville congregation. And we thank you for how that has come about, and we pray that it will be a really encouraging day. We pray for those from this country who will be going to that service. We pray for safekeeping in their travels, and we pray that it will be an encouraging time for the folk there in the Seville Church as they see people coming from afar, and as they know that many people that are unknown to them will be praying for them and for the growth of the church there. Lord, we pray that you'll be with us throughout this Lord's Day, and that we will know your blessing and your good providing hand upon us. Lord, hear our prayers now. We ask all in Jesus' name. Amen. In June, in Armagh, at the gathering of our ministers and elders at this year's synod, there was a service of covenant renewal that took place on the Wednesday afternoon at synod. And as part of that covenant renewal service, many of the men came forward and signed a written covenant renewal document, and Roy and I were present at that synod, and we had the opportunity to participate in that service. And the intention was that the same kind of thing would be done across the congregations of our denomination in the months that would follow on. And in some of our congregation, that has already been done. For example, in Ballylagan, I had Reverend Tim Donaghy booked for a couple of weeks in September, and he preached on the subject of covenant renewal. And on the 18th of September, the Ballylagan folk had the opportunity to sign the covenant document. Well, in my lifetime, that was the meeting at Synod was the second time that I had experienced a covenant renewal service. The previous one was in the congregation of Creva in 1990, and there was a covenant renewal service in Creva in 1990. I was not quite licensed at that time, but I remember the service of covenant renewal. And following on from that service in 1990 at Synod, there would have been a covenant renewal service that took place here in Karatz. And if anyone knows where the document that was signed is located, you can let me know, please, because in session the other night, nobody knew where that document was. It would be good to to rediscover it. My aim over the next three Lord's Days at the morning service is to speak on the subject of covenant renewal. And in 2 weeks' time, the 23rd of October, that will be the day in which people will have the opportunity to sign the 2022 covenant commitment. And that will be part of our worship service that Lord's Day, God willing. So today, by way of introduction, I want to speak on moving towards covenant renewal. And I will be reading the covenant that has been drawn up at the end of this. First thing I want to say is that this is not a new idea, and neither is it an outdated old idea. Covenant renewal is not something that has just been dreamed up at Synod this year. Neither is it something that belongs only in the past, something that people used to do, but something that really doesn't belong in today's world. The concept of God's people entering into covenant in response to the work, the gracious working of God in His covenant, is something that was at the heart of the understanding of what Protestantism and Presbyterianism was in Scotland. It has been largely set aside and forgotten. And even within Reformed Presbyterian circles, covenant renewal has been something that has really only happened very occasionally. And many people will have lived and died and never experienced a time of covenant renewal. But it's not a new thing, and it's not an outdated old thing. It is something that we find in the Scriptures. And that's why God's people in Scotland and elsewhere in the past saw that that was an important thing for them to enter into and to follow the pattern that we have in the Scriptures. In the Bible, we're taught of how God, in His wonderful mercy, enters into His gracious covenant of salvation. And in eternity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit covenant together to save God's chosen people. And in theology, that's referred to as the covenant of redemption. God is a covenanter. God enters into covenant for the sake of saving His people. And that which God planned in eternity was then implemented in history. And way back in the Garden of Eden, God announced His saving plan. Salvation would come. Mankind wouldn't be left in sin and misery. The Savior would be the seed of the woman, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus is at the heart of God's saving covenant. Christ is the covenant. He is at the heart of God's covenant plan of salvation. We read in the Scriptures how God entered into covenant with Abraham. And those covenant promises that were made through Abraham, it would be through the seed of Abraham that all the nations would be blessed. Those promises were renewed to Isaac and renewed to Jacob and so on. We read in the Scriptures the unfolding story. In the days of Moses, in the days of the Exodus, we see God remembering His covenant promises to Abraham. God had promised to bring them out of that captivity in Egypt, and God does it. And not only does God do what He said He would do, but He teaches His people how to respond to what He has done. And how were God's people to respond to His bringing them out of their slavery and bondage in Egypt? Well, they were to respond by obeying the commandments God gave them. Deuteronomy 4, verse 13
So he declared to you his covenant, which he commanded you to perform, the Ten Commandments. And he wrote them on two tablets of stone. God said, here is your covenant response to what I have done for you. Here's what you're to do for me. And then in the unfolding story of the Old Testament, there are various times of covenant renewal where God's people in their day and in their circumstances commit themselves to be the Lord's people, to honor the Lord in their lives, to render obedience to him. They renew their vows to the Lord, like a married couple renewing their marriage vows. That's what covenant renewal is like. Now, when does that kind of thing happen? Well, it happens at various different kinds of times. Sometimes it's when there's a really significant change in the life circumstances of God's people. Sometimes it's when God's people are facing particularly challenging times. Sometimes it's when they've really messed things up and they need to recommit themselves to being the Lord's people and obeying his law. We find covenant renewal, for example, at the end of the 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. God had made his covenant at Mount Sinai. And then at the end of those 40 years of wilderness wanderings, in Deuteronomy 29 and 30, we read part of those chapters earlier, people are about to enter the promised land. And they renew their covenant with the Lord. And Moses leads them in that act of covenant renewal. That's what's happening there in those chapters. We find covenant renewal also at the end of the lifetime of Joshua. Joshua chapter 24. That's all about covenant renewal at Shechem. And Joshua says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And he says, you folk, you've got to choose for yourselves whom you're going to serve. And that was in the days of Joshua. We find covenant renewal at different times through the various kings whose reigns are recorded. In the days of Jehoiada, the priest who preserved alive the one son of the kingdom who wasn't massacred by the evil Athaliah. And at that time, Jehoiada led the people in a covenant renewal act of worship. 2 Kings chapter 11, verse 17, records the assembly of God's people. And covenant renewal takes place. And God had spared his people and preserved the line of kings. We find covenant renewal in the days of King Asa, 2 Chronicles chapter 15. You'll read of that following the reign of an evil king. And King Asa leads the people in covenant renewal, rededicating themselves, that they are to be God's people, and not those who chase after other gods. The last great king of Judah was King Josiah. And in 2 Kings 23, verse 3, and in 2 Chronicles 34, verse 21, we're told of a time when King Josiah led God's people in covenant renewal. There was much, much sin that needed to be confessed. And there were promises that needed to be made about new obedience. And 2 Kings 23, verse 3, it says, then the king stood by a pillar and made a covenant before the Lord to follow the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all his heart and all his soul, to perform the words of the covenant that were written in this book. And all the people took a stand for the covenant. And Whenever these things happened in the history of God's people, it wasn't some new standard of obedience that was being invented. People weren't promising to do things that people had never done before, but they were simply pledging themselves to do what God had all along called upon them to do, to keep his commandments, to honor him. And towards the end of the story of the Old Testament, we find covenant renewal after the time of the Babylonian exile. In the days of Ezra and Nehemiah, we're told of a great service of covenant renewal. You'll find it spread across chapters 8 to 10 of the book of Nehemiah. And in those days, there was much sin that needed to be confessed, and there was new obedience that was being promised. And it spells out there what things the people were committing themselves to do. They didn't just say, "And we will seek to honor you." They said, "We'll seek to honor you in this, and we'll seek to honor you in this, and here's what we'll do, and we haven't been doing this, but we're going to do it now. And we commit ourselves to this." They were renewing the covenant. And that's what we seek to do. That's what you will have the opportunity to do. It'll be an entirely voluntary thing. Nobody will force you to sign these promises. They'll be your promises. And you will sign this or not sign it before God. But the opportunity will be there to do this, to enter into this act of covenant renewal. We'll be following the pattern that God sets before us in the scriptures and that has been followed in history at different times as people have sought to renew their covenant with the Lord. Well, the second thing I want to speak about today is to look just briefly at what we have of covenant renewal in the days of Moses. And in these chapters 29 and 30, we have an act, 29 and 30 of Deuteronomy, we have an act of covenant renewal. And it took place at a time of great change and great challenge for God's people. They're about to enter the promised land. They'd never been there before. It was a whole new life. It was a whole new land that lay ahead of them. And at that moment, it was appropriate for them to enter into covenant renewal, to look back and also to look ahead. And so that's what you have in Deuteronomy. And the people are looking back, and Moses is leading the people in looking back. And at the start of chapter 29, Moses reminds the people of everything that God has done for them already. It's God who delivered them from slavery in Egypt. It's God who sustained them through those 40 years of wilderness wanderings. It says in verse 5, "And I have led you 40 years in the wilderness. Your clothes have not worn out on you, and your sandals have not worn out on your feet." And for believers in the Lord Jesus Christ today, it is the Lord Jesus who has saved us, and not we ourselves. It's by the steadfast covenant love of the Lord that we are not condemned and that we are not consumed. And the Lord, who is our Savior, is also our shepherd. And we look back to what Christ did to deliver us from sin and condemnation. But we see also how he sustains us and brings us through the challenges of life. He is our shepherd, and we lack no good thing. But God's people needed to look back not only upon what God had done, but they had to look back upon how they had responded to that goodness of the Lord. And throughout the book of Deuteronomy, Moses is reminding God's people of how they had grumbled and how they had complained and how they had rebelled against the Lord all the way along. Chapter 9 is a good example of that. Verse 7 has a bit of a summary. And many occasions follow that demonstrate the truth of what it says in this verse. Moses says, Deuteronomy 9, verse 7. Remember, do not forget how you provoked the Lord your God to wrath in the wilderness from the day that you departed from the land of Egypt until you came to this place. You have been rebellious against the Lord. And as it was for the people in Moses' day, so it is for ourselves. We have to come to covenant renewal, confessing our sin, seeing how far short we have fallen in so many things that God has commanded us to do. In the covenant renewal in the days of Moses, there was a looking back, but there was also a looking ahead. And Moses looks ahead to times of future repentance on the part of God's people. He anticipates that they are going to be exiled to the farthest parts of the earth because of their sin. But he tells them that even if they are put out of the promised land, that the Lord will be faithful when they turn to him in repentance. In chapter 30, verse 3, it speaks about God bringing them back from captivity. Verse 4 says that he'll do that even if they've been driven out to the farthest parts under heaven. Wherever they'd be driven to, they wouldn't be beyond the reach of God to bring them back and to save them. Verse 6 in chapter 30 is a wonderful promise of what God would do for his repentant people. It says, and the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your descendants to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul that you may live. That's what God would do. For those who return to the Lord, he will do wonderful things for them and bless them abundantly. But God's people would need to show their love for the Lord. And at the end of chapter 30, in verse 19 and 20, Moses speaks about this, and he says, I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live, that you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey his voice, and that you may cling to him, for he is your life and the length of your days. And that's what we seek to do in covenant renewal. We seek to choose life, the life that is in Jesus Christ, the life that is truly life. We seek to love the Lord, we seek to obey his voice, and we seek to cling to him. To cling to him. That's what it's all about. Covenant renewal is our response to the covenant love of God. We love him because he first loved us. In covenant renewal, we declare our love and we declare our loving intention. Very briefly, I want to address the question, why now? Why at this particular time are we having an act of covenant renewal? Well, 3 years ago, there was a meeting of synod, and we were discussing the impending changes in law in Northern Ireland in regard to marriage and in regard to abortion. And a commission of synod was set up to lobby and speak to politicians who had a say in those things. But it was also proposed that at that time of momentous change in our country, it would be appropriate for us to consider an act of covenant renewal. And so at Synod 2021, it was agreed that at Synod 2022, there would be a service of covenant renewal, and that throughout our denomination, we would observe a time of covenant renewal. So it arose out of those God-defying laws that were being introduced or that were being threatened at that time and have subsequently been introduced to some extent at least. But since that time, many things have happened in our land and in our world, which makes covenant renewal all the more appropriate. Those law changes have taken effect. We have gone through the COVID-19 pandemic, which has shaken things up considerably. We're now in the what's known as the cost of living crisis. We're in a situation where there is war in mainland Europe. We've just had a change in our monarch. Our long-serving queen is no longer with us. We have a new king. We're living in a time of great, great political instability in the United Kingdom and in the world. And we're living at a time where the Christian church is fragile. And the census results show the decline in those who attach themselves to particular denominations, and the Reformed Presbyterian Church declined over those 10 years by about 4%. Other denominations declined by much, much more than that. But there's a picture of decline. And so there are many things that would say that this is a serious time, and we need to give ourselves to rededicating ourselves to the Lord in covenant renewal. And so that is what is to take place. And every covenant has a form of words. And today I'm going to read to you the words of the 2022 covenant commitment. There will be copies available for you to pick up from the table on the way out today. And it's just a page like this. It's full on both sides. For those of you who sign the covenant, there will be this little card that has the words of the covenant commitment. It's designed to be the kind of thing you can fit inside your Bible. Unless you have a very small Bible, it'll not fit inside that, but it'll fit inside a Bible, or you could fit it inside the back of your Psalter or whatever. And this has the words, and you'll be able to carry those with you, and you can see them and remind yourself of them. The two main things in the covenant are acknowledging our sin, a confession of sin, and then there is the commitment to future obedience. So this is how it reads. As members of the Reformed Presbyterian Church of Ireland, we believe that public covenanting with God is a biblical duty, a solemn restating of our commitment to God in the light of changing circumstances facing the church and the nation. We live in a world of rapidly changing values, both spiritual and moral, where increasing pressure is placed upon Christians to conform. In this context, we believe it is time publicly to recommit ourselves in our allegiance to the Lord Jesus Christ. By his grace and strength, may we be found faithful to God and to the testimony which he has committed to us. Therefore, we resolve to engage in the solemn work of renewing our covenant commitment to the Lord after making acknowledgement of our sins before him. And then there's a section on acknowledgement of sins. And it reads, we desire to humble ourselves before God on account of the sins of the nations in which we live. The mediatorial kingship of Christ over the nations is not acknowledged, and the law of God is rejected in national life. We grieve over the secularism which has come to dominate our nations, a total rejection of God's ways and God's word. We grieve over the systematic eradication of God's design for humanity, the devaluing and destruction of human life at its beginning and end, the redefining of marriage, and the recasting of sexuality and gender as matters of personal choice rather than divine gift. The pervasiveness of pornography, the loss of the Sabbath as a day holy to the Lord for physical rest and spiritual refreshment. We grieve that these things are celebrated as progress, and the Word of God, the standard for all truth, is neglected and replaced by ideologies which lead only to darkness. We grieve that in the turmoil of the pandemic and many other trials, our nations have not humbled themselves under God's mighty hand. The sins of our nations are very great and call down the righteous judgment of Almighty God. We also humble ourselves before God on account of the sins of the churches in our nations. We lament and reject the errors of liberal Protestantism, Roman Catholicism, and the prosperity gospel. We lament the dishonor brought on Christ by the abuses of power carried out under the name of Christianity, evil perpetuated by those in authority against the weak and vulnerable. We lament the departure from God's word by some in response to the pressures of society, the eternal word of God treated as outmoded and in need of revision. We lament that many who profess Christ live like the world. We lament the fractured nature of Christ's church and the lack of unity that there has often been within congregations and between denominations. In appearing before the Holy One of Israel to renew our covenant with him, we as members of the Reformed Presbyterian Church do so with a deep sense of our own sins. We confess the lack of godliness in our souls, the feebleness of our love for Christ and for his people, and our want of deep, heartfelt interest in the advancement of his glory on earth. We have been proud of our practice and heritage, yet we have failed to submit to Christ as King in every part of our lives. We have not grown as we ought in the likeness of Christ. We have not prized the Word of God as we ought. Our prayers have often been cold and lifeless. We have not been sufficiently zealous for the spread of the gospel in this island, and we have not depended as we ought on the power of the Holy Spirit in all our duties. On account of these and many other sins, of which we as a church are guilty in God's sight, we humble ourselves before God, and encouraged by the riches of divine mercy, we implore forgiveness through our Lord Jesus Christ, whose blood cleanses from all sin, and seek his grace that we might forsake sin and follow holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. So that's a major section of the covenant on acknowledgement of sin. Then there's a little section on identification with the historic covenants. Not only do we see covenanting in Scripture, but we look back with thanksgiving to the movements of God's Spirit, which led his people to enter into the National Covenant of Scotland, 1638, and the Solemn League and Covenant of England, Scotland, and Ireland of 1643. The Reformed Presbyterian Church of Ireland regards the principles of these covenants as still binding, unreservedly accepts the obligation imposed by those covenants, and grieves because those covenants have been repudiated by the nation to its incalculable loss. Today, we still recognize the duty of covenant response in the light of God's ever-abiding covenant of grace, within which we are confronted with the claims of Christ, our rightful King. And then the final section is the covenant commitment, and this is built around the four vows of church membership. As we enter into covenant with the Lord, we recognize that all these duties are required of every Christian by virtue of the covenant of grace, and that we do not bind ourselves to anything additional to that which is required in the Word of God, but we additionally bind ourselves to that which is already our duty. Acknowledging our proneness to failure and our ongoing need for forgiving and equipping grace, we pray that the Holy Spirit would enable us to keep our covenant vows. And there are four. Number one, we accept the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments as the Word of God and the only infallible rule of faith and practice. We recognize afresh that it needs no adjustment for our times, but that we must adjust in conformity to it. We will submit to the authority of the Word, give attention to the reading and preaching of that Word, and with the help of the Holy Spirit, endeavor to obey every commandment of the Lord willingly and joyfully. We will reject every doctrine and ideology that is contrary to the Word of God. Then number two, we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the only Redeemer of men, supreme in church and state, and in dependence and divine grace, we take him as our Savior and Lord. By his grace, we will submit to his kingship in every aspect of life, and we believe it is best for all human beings. In particular, despite the pressure of society, we recognize his authority in the areas of sexuality, identity, marriage, the sanctity of life, and the Sabbath day. In all things, we will seek his preeminence. We will pray and work for the recognition of Christ and his law in personal, family, and national life, and for the continual reformation of the church according to the Word of God. Number three, we adhere to the witness and testimony of the Reformed Presbyterian Church of Ireland and will, by word and life, seek to commend that witness to others. Whilst in love, we will seek to work alongside other believers where this is possible, seeking the unity of the Church of Jesus Christ on a scriptural basis. And number four, we promise that by the help of the Holy Spirit, we will endeavor to live lives consistent with our profession. We will seek to grow in Christ's likeness and to love our brothers and sisters in Christ, creating by God's grace churches where the beauty of living under Christ's rule is seen and experienced. We will seek to share the gospel of his glorious grace and will use our gifts for the glory of Christ and the building up of his church. In a final paragraph, we enter into this solemn engagement before the Lord with him who searches hearts. We seek not our own honor. Our sole objectives are the advancement of God's glory, the growth of personal godliness, the revival of religion, and the promotion of the best interests of men and women for time and for eternity. We cast the burden of this weighty obligation upon the Lord with the humble prayer, "May your hand be ready to help me, for I have chosen your precepts." Psalm 119, verse 173. Those are the words of the 2022 covenant commitment. It presents us with the opportunity to renew our covenant with the Lord in a public way, to do so with others who have the same heart. And in the will of God, we hope to have that opportunity 2 weeks from today. Amen. Well, let us sing to God's praise. We sing from Psalm 111, stanzas 5 to 9. Of this psalm. Psalm 111, stanzas 5 to 9, June Gainsborough, number 91. We're told in stanza 5 that God holds dear his covenant, and he does so forevermore. And stanza 8, it says, "He sent redemption to his folk, his covenant did ordain to last forever." God's covenant lasts forever, and we are called upon to respond to that everlasting covenant of the Lord. So let us sing his praise then. Psalm 111, singing 5 to 9, the tune 91. We stand to sing and then remain standing for the benediction.
Thank you.
now receive God's blessing. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and fellowship of God the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.